Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Babies. It's top 10. We got the albums. Came back to y'all. It's a new year. It's going to start off right. Recap, what an amazing year this was for hip hop, man. How do you feel about this year overall?
I think to the whole community, like as far as hip hop goes, this was a sleeper year. You know, I think a lot of people are saying it's boring. I see a lot of discourse about hip hop dying this year coming up. I saw a lot of discourse about not a lot of big albums that are coming out that are hitting like they should be. But for me, and I think for you, it's been a lot of drops to the point where this list, it took me some time to make. I had to sort through a bunch of albums that came out earlier in the year and later this year. Some albums I even missed that I tried to sneak in before we did this list. I'm like, let me see if I can catch up because I've heard some great things about some albums. And what it showed me was that listening to music, and I saw this on Twitter, it's a skill looking for what you're looking for, especially with so many people dropping. That's the issue for a lot of people. It was stuff if you look for it.
That's why we're here for you, bro. We got you, man. There's tons of great music that dropped this year. I know that y'all may not be able to find it. Let me show you something. You know, we're going to show you the top 10s. We got some honorable mentions as well. I got plenty of good stuff. I tried not to make it redundant. So some albums, some artists I felt had multiple projects this year I could have put in there. But I tried to keep it one artist, one album to my list just so we touch as many fan bases as possible. I always find it interesting, you know, just how we do it. So let's do it.
Before we get into it, just because an album was an honorable mention, like I said, especially for these last three spots, I was going back and forth. I was switching them a lot of times. I just picked what I listened to the most or what really impacted my listening experience as far as like, oh, this was really unique. Like, even if it was super different, it was catchy to me or it was like something I play all the time.
For sure. All right, let's do the honorable mentions first. Start off my honorable mentions list, man. I'm going to say it for you because I know that every episode we usually have Ray messing up on one pronunciation, but I'll take it this time. It's a Vore Dire by Earl Sweatshirt and Alchemist. That's on my honorable mentions, but it's my first one. I love Earl. I love Alk. Thought Alk killed it this year. Earl did as well. The consistency with the bars, and like one thing that you can't say about Earl this year is that it was too abstract. Felt like he really brought it back to a grounded level for a lot of people. Whereas before, you know, people might have been saying that some of the emotions, some of the topics that he was talking about were a little bit too out there for general consumption. You know, still dealing with real themes and stuff, but we got a far more palatable version of Earl for the general masses. So he could have easily been on my list. Literally, like you said, bro, what was I listening to the most? This was not in the top 10 rotation. So
I agree with you, though. This was a palatable Earl Sweatshirt project, especially compared to what he's been dropping recently. Alchemist is the producer of the year easily. Honorable mentions in the list, I think we'll see that because Alchemist did magic just like he did last year. He's been doing this, but this year I think I connected with a lot of projects he produced just because the samples he uses, they're something else, man. They usually hit every time. The way he loops it and the way he makes it work with any rapper's flow is crazy to me. No matter what coast they're from, he makes it work, even if I'm not like super impressed by what he's sampling. You feel me? This is another project like that.
He's older than us, right?
He was working with Prodigy and Havoc, bro. Like
Mommy. way back. We don't have like the same kind of references in mind, but there's a certain thing just like recognizing like what game is, right? Big shout out Uncle Al. Who's on your first on our list for honorable mentions?
Well, I didn't, you know, rank my mentions, but I'm gonna bring this one up first. Mick Jenkins, The Patience. I was struggling, you know, I'm a big fan of Mick Jenkins. Ever since The Waters, Pieces of a Man is still my favorite project, but this is the first project since then that I really like just from a rapping standpoint. And I feel like he did that on purpose because the features, he got a bunch of other rappers that know how to rap. And he just showed that he's still one of the better rappers. I think the reason why I missed maybe because I didn't connect with it as much as the other albums, but I did like it a lot.
Didn't have it on there, but it could have easily been on there as well. He's got plenty of other albums that I still mess with. Just didn't feel like that was the one for me this year. So
I'm gonna give another one just because I expect this to maybe be on your list. Beast Ganger. I liked it. I like a lot of tracks on it. I went back to it. A lot of the tracks grew on me. We damn near should have reviewed it. This one wasn't as deep maybe as the other albums on my list as we did to it, but it did have a lot of tracks I just like playing. They were funny. I wouldn't say he got deep, but he did show that he could rap and do this style better than a lot of other people. And that's why I messed with it.
This is the apex of Detroit rap that we're talking about right now. Let's say that real quick, because we also got Babyface Ray as an honorable mention for me. Summer's Mine.
Yep, okay, yep.
These two dudes are just on top of the Detroit rap game right now. I mean, it's not debatable. I think that the references and just the way that he uses his flow and like basically like draws you in like close because he this nigga mumbling like niggas used to literally complain about mumble rap. Now you got niggas begging for V's to mumble so that they can pay closer attention. I just feel like, you know, like this is like one of the apexes of that style of music. So it's definitely on my list. Next honorable mention on my list, I got Sundial by No Name. Also another great album. I also saw live. What a return to form for her. I mean, you can't say much, but good job. And like when it came out, we were all raving about it. It's like the perfect amount of time for us with like the 30 minutes. She didn't overstay the welcome and hit on all notes. I had the boom boom, that radio banger that's gonna be always stuck in my head. So yeah, I just thought that she did a really good job on this and she definitely deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah, she's fighting for my 10th spot, depending on, you know, when I made my list, considering the fact that, you know, I thought she was gonna retire. She came back.
Yep.
Hit on all 10 toes with the features, everything. She did not care. She basically was like, I'm gonna make the music I want to make, and you're either gonna like it or you're not. I can respect that. Killer Mike, Michael. Rap Music was one of my favorite albums the year that I dropped. That was so long ago. Him and LP, special duo. So when LP produced that album and it was good, no surprise, right? This was Killer Mike. I wouldn't say returning to, you know, his old school sound, but you know, not using LP for all the beats and just rapping about what he wanted to rap about. It was super personal. A lot of the songs on here, I liked them. I see why I was nominated for, I think, Rap Album of the Year at the Grammys, because especially for Killer Mike at this age, like for him to really do that and get, of course, Andre 3000 on Killers and Scientists. And it was just something special. I feel like it's all coming together for him as far as like he's at the point in his career where he's arguably as big as he's ever been, and he's later in his life, and I think that's something special, and that's why I think it deserves a mention.
Yeah, it's a good celebration for the guy, but I haven't been the biggest Killer Mike fan as of late. I mean, I definitely like some of his older stuff. I haven't taken some of his music for what it was in quite some time, because he says a lot of things that I feel like are very forward politically, but doesn't necessarily align with what you see in the media. So I kind of stayed away from the album, I'm be honest. I'd like the 103,000 song, but it fell out for me, bro.
That's happened to a lot of people. You see it on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. People don't agree with his viewpoints because of things he supported or, you know, certain things about his family. But, you know, at the end of the day, for me, I feel like he didn't do anything that was so problematic for me to the point where I wasn't going to check this out, especially considering how good it was to me. You know, yeah. I went into it thinking just like you, I was like, I might not like it considering what's happening. Even with Run the Jewels, you know, I like RTJ4 with some of his stances. Has it aged as well as it should have? I don't know, but Killer Mike, he knows how to rap and he knows how to make an album. So I had to go into it and check it out. And I was surprised with how much I enjoyed it. It didn't make the list, but I had to mention it.
You know who really should have been on your list, though? Yeet, bro. Yeah, man. You forgot Afterlife came out this year, bro. Hey, shout out Spooky, man. Yo Goat dropped this year, bro. Hey, he did a good job, man. We going to clap it up for him one time.
He was doing all that hating, and now he's in your honorable mentions.
Listen, man. You a disciple of Young Thug. You doing something right with your life, bro. You making these little white boys wear shikes. I don't know if I didn't understand it. I don't know if I didn't trust him, but you doing something right. You deserve to be mentioned. Man.
Even for me, I've never been the big Yeet album fan. I like certain tracks, but that album was pretty well put together.
I thought it was consistent, good range, and I liked his fake features where it's just his alter ego, you know. And I'm like, who is Cranky Cranky? And then I learned that it's just a more hyped up version of him. Shout out Yeet though. I thought he had a great year. So
another one I have is Camp 2. I was genuinely impressed with the step they took. I think production value wise with the music videos, I think Jane Fonda, that was a track that I actually was slapping throughout the year, you know, for a Bay Area group making an album in a short amount of time with a bunch of different artists, all of them working together with more listens, even after a review, some of the tracks grew on me. I think that should be acknowledged.
I like some of those songs. I can still recall some of the earwigs that they put into my head earlier this year. So yeah, shout out Casey. Casey's so dope. Marquito, because they're doing something that's good for just artistry in general. I think that it's a really cool idea what they put together. We need more creative outlets for Bay Area artists. So shout out people uplifting other people to share their art, man. That's dope. Next one I got, Gunna, A Gift and a Curse, as an honorable mention. We just want to talk about it. I just want to talk about it. Listen, wait, listen, bro. This is our end of the year recap. No, I'm not trolling, bro. I thought that actually, like, his response to, listen, bro, listen. His response to everything that had been happening with the court case, and him basically saying that everything is good in life, that kind of have to move forward. I thought he was one of the most heavily scrutinized rappers of the beginning of the year. So I thought that he had a solid response to everything that had been happening. You know, I just didn't think that he would be able to drop something that was so well received as it was, because there's a lot of stuff going on, you know. His reputation seemed to might have been tarnished.
I respect that. Coming from that point of view, yeah. The only reason why I'm surprised is because we didn't review it. If you felt like it was impressive, considering that he went against all odds, and I do agree with that. He did change the perspective to the point where you see some people saying this is the best album, best hip-hop album of the year. And to a certain degree, I think that's why some people say hip-hop is dying, because you're going away from what the culture deems significant. And that's why you see certain people totally anti-Gunna, and then you see certain people who are totally for Gunna. Just like I think you saw with 6ix9ine when he was snitching. I'm not trying to say it's the same thing.
No,
you know, he didn't get on the stand, and he didn't totally snitch on everybody. He took the plea deal, and he's totally went away from that, and he's grown from that, and he's been able to express himself. I just didn't enjoy the music that much. But I'm not here to totally hate on Gunna. I just didn't appreciate the album. I thought maybe he would grow more considering the situation. I thought he was going to totally either, you know, ignore it, and he kind of acknowledged it, and it didn't really hit for me. But I do appreciate your viewpoint, because that does make sense with people really saying this album was hip hop album of the year, but I can't see it.
Listen, bro, at the end of the day, what Gunna did is hip hop, bro. I mean, he took a plea deal. He chose himself, bro. What you want him to do, bro? Subscribe to what moral code, bro? Like, it's not the hip hop moral code, because that's, I'm going to get mine. So, and I he agree. Sold his album. And he sold his albums. I liked a lot of the songs, you know. Some of them are TikTok songs for sure, but he had other ones that were, you know, they still hit. And he lost some of his producers too. You know, Weezy said he wouldn't fuck with him no more. I'm like,
now he's trying to fuck with him, and I agree.
Now he's trying to, exactly, bro. Everybody in the industry trying to, you know, double back on that. And I just think that a lot of that shit's lame. And I think that he showed that he can do it on his own. He don't need whoever. And as far as I know, him and Young Thug are still friends, so whenever Thug gets out, they're going to be making bangers, bro. That's all I care about.
I agree.
I need them to come back, and I need them to make bangers. You're not 6ix9ine, bro. We're not going there.
My next honorable mention is Travis Scott, Utopia.
Wow.
Didn't make my
list.
That one
is more of the one that I'm surprised about, because that one, I felt like the music was definitely not the primary of the discourse for that one. I thought another one where it was discourse around the album rather than the actual music.
When I was looking back at my list and I was creating it, it was the number 10 to number 9 spot. And what made me push it out was that even though I enjoyed the music, some of the songs I like a lot, I sometimes still slap them. The whole album didn't last, or just once people stopped talking about the music, I feel like it faded from other people's viewpoints. I don't know. It did connect with me on certain tracks, but some of the other tracks didn't connect with me as much. It was fighting for a spot. And I realized this, if it's fighting for a spot with other albums that didn't have as much noise and didn't have as much push behind it, that says something to me. I think Utopia is a good album. It just, like I said, this year was deep. When I really looked at the list, when I was making the list, it was deep. It was hard for me because I had to make cuts, and that was one of them.
Yep, had to be cut. Hey, I went to the Travis Scott concert, and man, just wasn't fucking with every single track.
The everything, long run, right? Yeah.
Everything in my top 10, I'm pretty much fucking with every single track, bro. So a lot of good music this year. All it takes is a couple of tracks, or, you know, one mediocre track, bro, and it could not be in here. So listen, man, Kenny Mason didn't make it. Okay, I got Kenny Mason in my honorable mentions.
6?
Yep,
same.
You know, and y'all
same,
know I love y'all know I love me Kenny Mason, man. Think he's still killing it with the rock rap type fusion down at ATL. What he doing, man? That shit crazy. Like he said, he's on the road convincing some 20-something-year-olds to rage. Shout out him, man. He's a GOAT. He's a legend. Really looking forward to whatever next project comes out, you know, next year or beyond. I think it's going to be definitely way bigger than this, and I'll actually be able to put it on. This one, unfortunately, just a little too short for me.
EP tracks, right? Yeah, it was EP. You know, so. He put them together, and even now he dropped an EP recently called, or not EP, but it was a single, but it basically was 3 tracks, right? 2 tracks called 9. Mm-hmm. So it seems like he's just following it up and dropping tracks that are dope that he might want to put out before his next album. And that's why I cut it off too.
Who else you got?
Danny Brown. Quanta?
Ah,
I know it's Spanish,
Quaranta.
Quaranta, yeah. Quaranta. Is it Spanish? I might be getting mixed up. See, like you said, I got to mess up a name. Basically means 40, right? I think this was more so a time thing for me. I really enjoyed this project. I think it was a really good project. It was dark, but I think considering the topic matter, you know, him being 40 and still in the rap game, and some people think that's an old age. We've talked about this, you know. Rap is a young man's sport. It's, and he's still thriving in hip hop. He's still making albums with JPEG. He's still, you know, trying to make moves and also blossoming as far as his career goes, because a lot of people are paying attention to Danny Brown right now, probably compared to when he was doing stuff when he was younger, right? So he's had that career path where he's gotten bigger as he's gotten older. I think if I would have had more time to sit on it, it would have been on there. It would have been in my top 10.
Yeah. It probably definitely could have, man. One of the ones where I was saying where I can't have an artist twice, that is one of them, because it was the most personal Danny Brown album that we've gotten, right? And I felt like, you know, some of the stuff he was saying about, you know, how they love it on XXX, but when he talks like this, when he's rapping like this, you know, they don't fuck with it as much because he's not being as, you know, wacky or crazy, and he's being a little bit more real about himself, you know, like, so some of that stuff, you know, just about the theming and you talking about his younger life and talking about, you know, the decisions he was making, how he was certain mind states in certain different times of his life. It was just very illuminating on who Danny Brown is as a person, which we don't get a lot.
Yeah. Since like at XXX or Old, and this album reminded me the most of Old, which might be considered one of Danny Brown's weakest projects because it's a double album and he was doing the EDM Danny Brown shit at the time. But just like Old did, you know, XXX was about being 30. This is about being 40. Yeah. And it's kind of like, wow, like Danny Brown's been doing it for that long now and he's built his fan base. Let's see what he puts out. And he put out something good. Great. I just needed more time.
I know we both got another one in here, so it'll be fine. He's going to be fine. Okay. We're going to give him his props, bro. Anyways, next person I got on here, I got Metro Boomin Into the Spider-Verse. Just need to talk about this because we haven't had a good soundtrack in a while from a renowned rap curator. So this time it's not Kendrick Lamar, it's Metro Boomin. So I just wanted to shout out Metro getting a nice curation album going that was sanctioned for like a movie, you know, because West Side Gunn does that all the time. He's a really good curator. Hopefully West Side Gunn will get on a movie at one point. How it hasn't happened, I don't know. But, you know, Metro doing a great job. It's for a kids movie, and he got all these names, all these people that don't do non-explicit songs usually. I just think it shows how easy it would be for us to change some of these narratives in hip hop about how bad or demonic like some of the lyrics are and stuff like that. You just need to have outlets and people who are paying us to rap about things that are positive or about heartbreak, but not, you know, saying all this extra stuff with it. You don't need to do that. I think that this album really showed a lot of people some of the range that we have in this sphere. It's just we don't get put into the right light a lot of the time. So
yeah. Self Love, the song with Coi Leray, I was laughing out a lot.
Yeah.
There's a few tracks I liked a lot on that soundtrack album. He did the first one, Metro Boomin. He's done a good job with the Spider-Man soundtracks. He's a one-of-one producer. He's top-notch. He knows how to put together projects. Even Heroes and Villains came out last year, so he's back at it again. You know, he's continuously dropping good albums, especially for producer-led albums. He knows how to curate and put together the artists that need to be where they need to be at.
Who else you got, bro?
Navy Blue, Ways of Knowing.
My God, bro. You got this honorable mention, bro.
Terrible. Yeah, I like this album a lot. Again, fighting for a spot. But later in the year, I didn't play it as much sometimes. And also, it was a deep year as far as like the albums I really liked, and I stuck with them. It missed barely, though.
I got it next. My next honorable mention, you're going to laugh at me. I'm a lover, not a fighter, bro. I got Jacquees, Sincerely for You on here, bro.
No, I'm not. I just think it's funny, bro. You know, my bro. To be a big Jacquees fan, it's just funny to me.
He has some songs on there, man. They moved me. They moved mountains. I'm a lover, not a fighter. That had to be reiterated. That's why I have this on here. I don't even think that this was one of his best albums. I think that it was such a weak year for me personally in R&B, and I thought that Brent was probably the only contender this year. But my favorite love songs were on this album, so Had to put it on here, bro.
I ain't hating. That's cool. I know you like your R&B. You gotta have your R&B in there. I feel that.
Gotta have a couple.
My next one was Nas, Magic 3. Magic 2 wasn't the best to me, but I liked Magic 1 a lot. And then Magic 3 brought that energy back, especially following King's Disease 3. Nas is one of my favorite rappers of all time, man. Him, again, bringing up age. You know, we say rap's a young man game. He's been able to have a resurgence in his career. And I appreciate that because Nas is one of the best rappers ever. As far as like what he brings to the table, his lyrical ability, they're saying they're done with that. But Hit-Boy giving him beats, one of the top producers, you know, he made Niggas in Paris. He's made a lot of hits. So I appreciated this album.
I like Magic 3 a lot too. Nostradamus, old man raps, the luxury, you know, hey, y'all like backpack, y'all like old school rap, bro. Like obviously he going to be doing it for you. So enjoy that.
Yeah.
Enjoy
pretty that. Pretty much. I'm just going to go.
Nah, go ahead.
Another one real quick. Matt Kami, Notorious Dump Legends Volume 2. This album wasn't like one of my like favorites by him, but the replayability is for me. I really like this album a lot. Wellness Checks, a few of the tracks on here. So good. He brought the cool vibe, him and the Godfrey. They know how to do albums and tracks together, and this was another one. Didn't hold my attention as much as the other albums on my list, but I was playing this for a minute.
It was good, bro. Yeah, so good. Saying nigga so good. I'm saying nigga so good. Yeah, like, come on, bro. Real. Like, this shit was crazy, bro. Shout out Makami, man. Makami, one of the elites in hip-hop right now, you know. One of those guys who doesn't let people know too much about his life. Makes it all the more interesting. The Godfather, him, also killing it on that record, man. Shout out both of them. I'm not a faithful Makami listener, so I don't listen to every single project they drop, but everything I get my hands on, man, is something, so.
You know, he be acting different with his drop. He makes his music a designer price almost. It's almost like when you're buying designer clothes, you know what you're getting, especially because, you know, it's really quality, you know, a lot of times the material and stuff. But if you're not in that range, you got to go out your way to get the music. You know what I'm saying? And he does that for a reason. He wants to make money off his music. That's why I respect it, because he's bringing back the value to music. And that's important. He's found a way to do that with his fan base, and they genuinely enjoy it, including me.
Another one I got is Young Nudie Gumbo. Man, could have been in there, man. So close. Young Nudie getting better every year, man. He's got a crazy ear for beats. Tons of coop beats. Love to hear him all over this Young Nudie album. God, really one of those albums that carried me throughout the beginning of the year. Got a resurgence due to TikTok. Don't
Each
think
in
that.
The eggplants, right? Yeah, yeah, that was a hit pretty much.
Don't think it needed that, but like, I mean, I feel like it got a lot more recognition after that point. You know, whatever it takes at this point. He's getting some of his best work in at this point. Kind of sad I didn't put it on there, but hey, always next year, man.
Another one I got, Mike, Wiki, and The Alchemist. Faith is a Rock.
The Mayor's a Cop.
Yeah. There's a lot of tracks on this album that were dope. I used to like Rat King growing up. Shame they broke up, but Wiki's been able to make a career on his own. You know, he's dropped some really dope music if you're checking for it. And this was another one, especially with The Alchemist. Like I said, producer of the year. This was fighting for a spot. One of the only reasons why I didn't make it was because listening time. I didn't sit with it as much as some of the other projects on my list. And I also just think that Mike dropped another album that really hit.
But yeah, shout out Wiki. Crazy verses from him and Mike both. I thought that the concept of the album and just like, you know, it being a very New York album was really dope. I love music that tells where you're from, man. I just, you know, we're from the Bay Area, so we're very accustomed to that kind of music. You listen to all the old school East Coast stuff. I mean, you've been listening to New Yorker music for your whole life.
Yeah.
Dope, man. New wave, new generation. New Yorker shit. So I really also fuck with it, speaking Bay Area. Larry June, The Great Escape with The Alchemist. That's an honorable man. Not in the 10. Sorry, man. But I know it's going to be in yours by your reaction right now. It didn't make it for me, man. I don't know what it was. It fell out of the rotation for sure, though. Maybe I'm so self-motivated. I don't need Larry June music. Maybe I'm just that good of a grinder, bro.
I could see why it wouldn't be in your top. You know, I know you're not the biggest Larry June fan. I'm not the biggest, like, super big fan of his, but I appreciate his music. I think with this album, it was a dope collab. Larry June has all the respect as far as like Bay Area rap and stuff, but I feel like people try to hate on Bay Area rappers and act like they can't rap over New York beats or they can't rap a certain way. And this album proved that it is possible. It's been proven before, but it's another example. That's why I appreciated it a lot. Another one I had was Rome Streets, Noise Candy 5. I really liked Rome Street's album last year, so going into this one, I thought I would like it. Again, it was just one of those albums that had a track or two that constantly I went back to. I might not have went back to the whole album, but I was playing tracks or something, or something else hit more than others. And this was a cool project. It gave me mixtape vibes again. So it wasn't like something I don't think we talked about reviewing much, but I like what Rome Street brings to the table. Aggressive bars, just talking about what's going on with where he's at, and I think, or where he was at, and that's really tight the way he does it.
The last one I got, which you probably gonna be mad, he's probably got this actually in your top 10, but I got We Buy Diabetics Test Strips on my honorable mentions. It's not in the 10, bro, and that's only because Billy Woods got another album in there, so lay out my case. But I will say, we didn't get to review this very dense album. Could have been a banger video. We always suck at missing out on those. But I really, really did like this album a lot. Definitely requires a certain headspace to listen to this album. I really fuck with just the whole theming of it, just being about like phones and shit. Like, I think that's funny and dystopian. And who else is going to make a good album about, you know, some shit like that besides Billy Woods and Elucid? Shout out both of them. I really like this album. It could have been in there. I'm going to let you go in on it because I know.
I'll go into it more later when we talk about our 10s, you know, when we get more into that. But yeah, this was a great album. I see why you might have left it out of there. I ain't going to lie to you. When I was first listening to it, I'm not going to say like I didn't feel it. But like you said, it's a certain mind state. I feel like Arm & Hammer, when they're together, Billy Woods on his own, it's kind of like that. You got to be in the right mind state. I feel like when they're together, it's that times two times whatever you want to make it. Like, it's really intense, especially with some of the production on here. They really went a certain way. Going to my last one, Primo Rice, Portrait of the P. I really like Primo Rice. He's kind of in that Larry June lane. They've worked together before. He talks about Mac and all that stuff. He's dropped some really dope products to me. He's kind of slept on. He's in his own lane. He's not the same. They're not from the same place, but they kind of have that like swag, kind of like I'm just doing my thing. I really like Portrait of the P. I feel like it was smooth. It's something I could play around people. It's something I could just chill and listen to. And I think I needed one of those on here. Yeah, that was it.
And I might have too many of those. We about to read off our list back to back, and we're going to give raw reactions, and we just going to kind of free-for-all it, I think. So you go ahead, bro.
You want me to start us?
Yeah, you start.
So for my number 10, I got B. Kool-Aid, Leather Boulevard. Number 9, McKinley Dixon, Beloved Paradise Jazz. Number 8, Young Morpheus, From Whence It Came. Number 7, Larry June and the Alchemist, The Great Escape. 6, Arm & Hammer, We Buy Diabetic Test Strip. 5, Bodhi James and Rich Gaines, Indiana Jones. 4, Earl Sweatshirt and The Alchemist, Vore Dyer. 3, Mike, Burning Desire. 2, Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel, Maps. And number 1, probably not surprisingly, JPEG Mafia, Danny Brown, Scaring the Host.
Easily. We knew it.
We knew it. It was that or Billy Woods. That was like toughest battle. I ain't gonna lie to you. It was something different about that. That's my top 10 of this year.
All right, man. I got at 10, Valet and Harry Fraud, Virtuoso. At number 9, Young Thug, Business is Business. At number 8, Z Loopers and Quaddy Diesel, Quazelle. At number 7, I got JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown, Scaring the Host. At number 6, I got Mike, Burning Desire. At number 5, I got Lucky, Sex, Money, Drugs. At number 4, I got V's, Ganger. At number 3, I got Young Morpheus, From Whence It Came. At number 2, I got Billy Woods, Maps. And then at number 1, I got Navy Blue, Ways of Knowing, as my number 1 album, bro. Yes, sir. That's the number 1.
Wow. Okay, that's why you were so surprised. Well, I had it in my honorable mentions. I didn't know you liked that album that much. I really liked that album. I don't know. I think it was more so a time thing. Not just to focus on that, but just like, I'm surprised you had that number 1, but that's great because it was introspective as hell, especially the whole theme and everything, the cover, everything, it totally matched. And I think Navy Blue is a really dope ass artist, but it's dope. He's getting a lot of pub. He's making moves. And I think that's dope as hell because he's not like something I would see selling in the mainstream, but he's obviously getting that push that he deserves.
Somebody who's been working, first name I shout out, you know, was Earl Sweatshirt and Alchemist, you know, somebody who works closely with those types of people. This album, I feel like in general just came at a really timely point in my life. I think that's the whole reason why it's up there for me. So I think it was just about personal connection with talking about passing of a loved family member who taught your mother how to be the woman she is, who enabled her to have the love to care and raise for me. That's a pretty powerful message, man. And that's just one song, right? Tons of different stuff on there, man. Like the rapping ability, you know, just my state, he puts you in. It's a very humbling and a sober experience listening to the album. So definitely just one of those projects that gives me a lot of mental clarity, helps me think about things in a not too negative light, because it's coming from a place of healing in general. So
yes, yeah, I agree. We had to review it because when I was listening to it, it did hit. Maybe why I kind of dipped back, because it was bringing me to a mind state that I was like, I don't know if I want to be in this mind state just listening to this, you know. And everyone's different, especially depending on what you're going through. And that's what I love about music. I think that album was like, it was heavy. It brought me back and I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think, mm-hmm. I think it depends on the artist. But that was fighting for a spot. I love that we both had Billy Woods and Kenny Siguet too. Maps was something special. Maps to me was basically the sequel to Hiding Places. I think Billy Woods hit on every nail I wanted him to hit on. Him and Kenny Siegel are an amazing duo. I think Kenny Siegel knows how to set up the pocket for Billy Woods to just express himself in a way that works so well. Billy Woods drops dope projects no matter what, you know, by himself, with other producers, but they definitely need to keep this going. I think they are a dope duo. I went to see them live, and that's why I also probably had We Buy Diabetic Test Strips, because I was really listening to that album. And I think that, again, just showing that Billy Woods, and especially Elucid, Backwoods Studios, one of the best labels right now, they're dropping some stuff that is like, no one else is touching that. No one else is doing it on that level. And that's why I appreciated those albums so much.
I've seen it live too. I want to see Kenny Siegel and Billy Woods in a dark room in Seattle. Shit was lit. Great album. Another one that I was traveling a lot this year. So, you know, put on Maps when I walk into the airport. Sometimes I feel a little deranged, not going to lie. You know, I'm just walking by people listening to the music I was listening to. You'd be talking about some crazy shit sometimes, man, or some real shit. So, yeah, love that. One of my favorite songs on there, NYC Tap Water, just reminds me of the flight home, you know, when you get back home and you got to deal with all the problems that are back on your doorstep. You can't ever truly avoid them, right? Just by going on all these trips and stuff. There's just so many different themes and stuff that he touched on in that project that we could get into all day. It's just like, great album, bro. Deservedly number two.
No matter how abstract or, you know, it's even some of the features, you know, he pulled out some people. I'm like, how is this going to work or how is this going to sound with the rest of the album? It worked every time. Every victory, if you're it. Every live show, forget the lyric. You know, Quelle Chris, one of my favorites. He dropped the album Cavalier this year. It was tight to see that Cavalier, I think, was on tour with them. And that makes sense because, again, Backwoods, and especially Billy Woods, they're just on a roll. Every year, he's dropping something that I have to at least check out because it's like, I already know what I'm getting.
Got your boys right here, bro. I put them at seven, bro.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't even in their top five, but at the same time, I understand. I think last year we had way more similar lists as far as like placements and stuff. This year, it was basically what you want to listen to. It wasn't anything pushed in your face. It wasn't anything that was like, oh, you have to check this out as far as everybody. It was like what you're looking for, what you're listening to. And that's an example of that because Scaring the Hoes was easily, once I heard that, Fentanyl Tester, nigga, Step a Pig, nigga, Kingdom Hearts Key, like literally, I don't always scare the hoes. But if I was always going to scare the hoes, this is the album, I think, that perfectly embodies that because it's abrasive, it's in your face, but it's catchy to a certain degree because JPEG, I feel like he knows that balance. And Danny Brown, what I really loved about this project was that it brought the Danny Brown I love to hear back, that wacky, energetic, not too left. It's like, it's still like, I mean, it is, but that was the perfect duo. It was like, I don't know, bro, because Danny Brown used to have that wacky voice and that was his big thing. And I just think JPEG, he's not all about the wacky voice, but his production and sometimes his voice, he knows how to work it. And I feel like this album had the versatility and everything that I was looking for this year, especially from that duo.
Machine that they were recording on too, the MK, right? That shit gave it that extra layer of funkiness to it. So
it was everything.
Just kind of a perfect culmination of two talents, you know, type of thing. So Definitely one of my favorites just because of the collaboration and the medium and the energy. Another one of the ones that I put on here just because of the energy and the collab was the Z Loopers and the Quaddy Diesel. I mean, that was one you just kind of sent me out of nowhere and I was just like, oh, what's this? And, you know, I go into it and I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I hear Cascade. And then I hear any of the songs, bro. Like, just the beats with thumping. High Right Now, Feel Rich. Catchy-ass hooks. Dudes was just barring out. Some of the deliveries just so wacky. Like, the Van Gogh Ear album that he had, like, last year or 2 years ago. This one, I feel like, took it to another level just because he has somebody else, like, right there. Just hammering home, like, the craziness of this shit. I think it added something to me with having, like, somebody there, like, validating. I'm like, is somebody seeing this? And then a nigga in the studio and he do the same thing. I'm like, okay, he is seeing this.
Pretty much,
this shit is really crazy, bro.
Mm-hmm. So. Bruiser Brigade, because Looper is one of Danny Brown's signees, I think. He's on Bruiser Brigade, at least. Again, I love that we're starting to see other artists from Bruiser Brigade branch out, make their own name, work with other people, but also they have that stamp of this is where they come from, because that's what also made this album dope, and that's why I sent it, even though it wasn't necessarily a mention. It might have basically been a mention, but I knew you were probably going to have it somewhere. And also, you know, it just didn't fit on my list. It was dope. The energy on this project is undeniable. It's all over the place, but it's like, it's crazy. It's a crazy ride. I think it's definitely worth a listen. You might like it. You might hate it. Hey, you checked it out, and I think it's worth it.
They played this shit at the Earl Alchemist show, bro.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
It's valid, bro.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's valid, bro. Trust me on this one. What's another one that you really want to talk about that you had on there?
You said Earl. Yeah, Earl Sweatshirt. Now, I was, you know, when they dropped it on that NFT site, I was disappointed. But, you know, I had to listen to it because I'm a big Earl fan.
I was disappointed. And
I was disappointed because it's like, bro, just drop it on the streaming service. Drop it on DSPs, man. Because it's like, bro, we need...
But you're going to let Cardi slide, huh?
Hey, it's different. But with this situation, it was kind of like, well, at least Cardi's dropping it on YouTube. He's dropping it on other places. They literally only dropped on an NFT website. And, you know, I'm not really an NFT person. But I get it.
I'm not either.
Make money. Yeah, you got to make money off your music somehow. But the more I listen to it, and we didn't review it again, time and... just the way they dropped it, you know, they dropped it on everything else later and they changed the track list. So it was kind of like, damn, but man, this album was, it was dope. It was dope, man.
The
more I go back to it, man, Sirius Black, Mac Deuce is like something I never play every day. I don't know what it is about that song. It's just Earl Sweatshirt. When he's in his bag and he's not too eclectic or too weird, it's just something special. Maybe it's because I grew up listening to Odd Future and I used to love Odd Future, but Earl Sweatshirt, he always has a place. I think that's why I put, I think, Sick like 2 years or a year ago, because it's just like, man, when Earl Sweatshirt's rapping his ass off and you have dope beats, it's hard to go wrong. But this album really impressed me because Alchemist, again, man, he's on a roll. And some of the beats on this album just blew me away, the way Earl and especially Vince on the songs with Vince, they found their pocket. Mm. You know, I'm a big Vince Staples fan, and I love them together. So hearing them back together on multiple tracks, this is the first time, I think, maybe since Wool, that they've been on an official album together. Man, special duo. I want an album from them eventually. But
crazy moment, crazy album. I really feel like it was definitely an underappreciated moment in hip-hop. They're just such a good tandem, such a good duo.
Yeah.
You know, all those guys, you know, are all very interconnected. So I'm glad that we got to see, you know, them have their moment, do their little media run and all that. I thought it was dope, man. It's so casual for them at this point, man. So casual for them. So sometimes I feel like we,
it's easy.
You know, I can even discredit it sometimes and feel like, you know, it shouldn't be in the top 10. But, you know, in reality, I could have put it in here above, you know, a lot of different albums. So I'll do better. I'm going
to
do better.
Man, I like your list because... And I know you're about to get into it, but man, Beast, nigga, like that impressed me. I like Beast. I like some of his tracks. I've heard some of his tracks as intros or YouTubers' videos. I've checked some of his SoundCloud shit, but Ganger was different. I feel like it was like him trying to appease his hardcore fan base, but also trying to make it big. And I think if you were paying attention, this album had hits on it. This album had deep cuts on it. It was different. And I think even though people might say he's mumbling or he's just saying whatever, it's hard.
We all love music for various different reasons, but one of the biggest things is the the connection that it brings with other people. And this is one of the most interconnecting albums of the year, I feel like. You know, I feel like which album had the most moments, or, you know, felt like the rapper was in the public eye the most. It definitely felt like it was V's with Ganger. I just feel like his personality really bled through. His music is so infectious with his emotions and like what he does. Oh, he gets on the internet, it's the exact same thing, and everybody's talking about it. And the music was so good, bro. Like, the beats are crazy, bro. Cover art, you know, the guy who we got to do the cover art, I follow him on, you know, whatever now. Like, that guy's dope, bro. So it's just like everybody who seemed like they were connected to this album as a dope person, and the music that came out of it was so dope. And now you're seeing like all the shows and like people singing the lyrics word for word at all the shows. He getting exactly what he deserved, bro. He definitely is way up there on my list, just because I felt like, not even off of my pure enjoyment, like just everybody in general, like the way that we were all enjoying this album, it's got to be top five for me.
Mike wasn't on yours, huh?
No, he was. He was. He's number
six. Bro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we both had Mike. I think Mike was the latest pick, release wise for me, which shows you, and it was in my top three, right? Which shows you how much that album hit for me. I think it was the way he went about, you know, I like Mike's music, but I feel like it was something different. I think it was the way he sequenced the tracks, the way it all flowed. Maybe it was because he dropped that album with Wiki and Alchemist 2, and it was like, okay, this is dope. And then he dropped that, and I thought, it's doper in its own way. It was just Mike just giving you an update on his life, but it was like, so Mike songs like They Don't Stop When It Rains, Zombie, Muscle Beach, you know, those tracks, especially Muscle Beach, I played those all the time, even still. And I think because it came out later in the year and it really hit me, it did have that level of favoritism because it was a recent album that I'm playing a lot. That's why I got my third spot. I was surprised, not because I don't like Mike, just because how much I liked that album. It was kind of in a lot of the songs connected with me.
That's good reasoning, man. I mean, I really liked it in general just because the perspectives and the life topic matter, it hits home. Really good project, and I agree with what you're saying about it was so good to see him do what he does on such a grand scale. It was an album that was so Mike that's why it was great. Big shout out, Mike, bro. Another one we both had on our list, I had this one a little bit higher, you know, From Whence It Came by Young Morpheus. We both, when did you figure out about Young Morpheus?
He done features on other people's stuff, but you sent me this album. Yeah, when you sent me this album, I was like, well, let me sit with this. Songs like, how do you say it? Escovitch,
yes.
Fish or whatever. Escovitch, whatever you say that. I know it's a dish, yeah. That's like, it's a type of food that's within a certain culture. But songs like that really hit for me. You know, Cordy niggas always want a piece of your pie. I could tell he's a snake by the look in his eyes. Like, and other songs in that album. Cell Phone Tower.
This album, bro.
Yeah, it was different.
It's special, bro. He really is one of those dudes that embodies hip-hop for me. I mean, I found him with that Bag Talk album he did with Pink Sifu. That was how I found him. Shout out Pink Sifu. He was another honorable mention.
That one
he did with, that he just released. It's Too Quiet.
That one was really good. That shit was
crazy, bro.
Yeah, it has
some really good songs on there. Should have put that on my honorables for sure. Found, you know, Morpheus off of Bag Talk Deluxe. He's not the type of guy to censor himself. He's just going to say what he's feeling. And I really love when somebody just talk about, you know, fuck this cracker. Like, I'm going to do me. Like, he just living his life, man. A lot of that don't give a fuck attitude. And some of the sample work on here and just how smooth his delivery is. He was talking about Primo Rice having just, you know, a crazy, like, vibe filled up. I felt like this one was on a different wavelength than like anybody else this year. I don't always get a response from you when I send things, bro. Sometimes you just like, yeah, I'm gonna get around to it, bro. We all do that to each other.
We were talking about reviewing it. Yeah, hopefully this year we don't miss projects like that, because obviously we both really liked it. Surprising when you were like, well, I didn't know you were listening to it like that, but man, I was really listening to it.
Another one that I got on here you was sleeping on, that you was all the way hating on, was Business Is Business, bro, by Young Thug, man. The GOAT, man, the trap GOAT. I got him at number 9. You know, I couldn't put him up that high this year. This was not another Slimin' B. Remember that?
Throwback. Yeah, throwback. Yeah,
remember when I put that way up on my list? Yeah, because that shit had hits. That shit had bangers. This one, there was a couple. I felt like Oh You Went was really the song of the summer.
I like that song.
So that's why. Yep. So that's why I had to put this on here. Hellcat Kenny. That song's crazy and wacky, and would love a little Uzi on there, and some of the solo tracks, bro. And just the fact that he got Metro Boomin to do this project. I still ride by Metro version better. You know, Drake wanted the Parade on Cleveland song first. You know, he fucked up the placement, and they had their little beef or whatever. But we on Metro side, man, because Metro did a really good job with this project. I thought the way that Metro layered it and did it, he's very particular about the way that he does it. So I don't really like when people try to fuck with it. So I think that that kind of attributed to like the weirdness I emotionally felt towards this album. It wasn't like fully received well, like as soon as it came out. I think after, you know, listening to it over time, I mean, it's one of my most played albums. Young Thug was doing some really dope shit on here. He always finds a way to do something new, creative, and fresh. And you can't say that a lot about a lot of other people. I really look at this man like he Thanos, man. He got like all the different ATL artists in his gauntlet, bro. And then when I'm listening to them, I'm like, damn, bro, they really just want a piece of the stone, because he got so many different flows, so many different lanes he can touch. Bro,
he had a few albums planned that he didn't get to drop because of what's happening. And hopefully they figure that out. Whatever happens, happens. And I hope he can come back maybe and drop some dope projects. This was a solid project. It was definitely a fun project to review. I remember that review. So
what else you have on there that I didn't have?
Be Kool-Aid. You said you wanted to maybe put the other album. This project, Leather Boulevard, was really good. I was telling you earlier that I might have technically, there were some R&B tracks on here. And I think this was like kind of my cheat where I had some R&B slash like different vibes on here. Again, he's on a roll too. He drops a project every year that I'm looking out for, because I know he's going to experiment enough and change up enough to where it's going to make the project interesting. This was not something he's dropped before. This is not something that this group has dropped. Like, it was different. It was unique. And I love the sounds, like Brandy, Aaliyah, a few other tracks on here. I could just casually play these and people wouldn't notice that it's some underground artists, because the production quality is there. It's mastered well. Didn't have really any skips for me. I just let it play. It's just an album you could just play and just vibe to, at least for me.
Yeah. So, I think that the problem that I had with these albums and the reason why I didn't put them on my top 10 was because it's like, it's very psychedelic and it's also very like loosey with like the structure of the album. So like you were saying, like you could throw it on, you could just vibe to it, because you'll tune out of the album because like he'll just be doing some instrumental stuff for like 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden it'll come back on and he'll pick back up. It's good for what it is, but like for me, like when I'm trying to sit down and I'm trying to like listen to an album sometimes, and like an artist does that, it loses me. I forget what I'm doing and I forget why I'm even listening to it or something. I might have a little bit of a TikTok brain. But okay. I can normally sit through, but you know, sometimes I don't know which ones to find, what I'm looking for. It makes it hard. It makes it convoluted. I mean, sometimes it's so easy nowadays with like these playlist type albums where you can just, you know, click and you can find songs. With Pink Seafood, man, you really actually have to listen. That definitely was something that bogged it down and put it further down my list.
Well, what he dropped this year and especially what he dropped last year, I love the versatility. I love that he's able to just experiment or just work with all these other artists, and it's a hit for me. Like I was genuinely surprised, just like you. I think with this album at first it was all over the place. I was confused. I'm like, what is this, you know what I'm saying? Because he was listed as an artist, and when it finally clicked, it clicked all the way. It was like, wow. And I think partially why I had it low was what you said. It's not like something that's super concise, but I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. Yeah, you didn't have Boldy James because maybe it came out so early in the year, but I put it high because when that came out, I was playing that.
That's all we listened to.
When I went back to it, I was like, yo, like this is why we went out already to review this, especially considering what had happened with the accident. And it's good to hear that he's basically back now for the most part, right? But you know, this album, I put it in a lot because, and I put it so high because the replayability, I was playing the hell out of this album. And I also think that it was Boldy just, again, dropping a dope project with dope beats, Rich Gaines. I wasn't really hecka familiar with his game, but now, yeah, that man was doing something special with a lot of those beats, at least for me. And it lasted when I did go back.
That's what's up, man. We had AC on that.
Yeah, that was. Someone else had it in their top 10 just because I was playing it around them. And songs like Cat Eyes.
Electric Blue.
Yeah, that's like one of my top played songs this year. I love that track. And I feel like it was enough versatility to really stand the test of time.
Another one that I had, I know you was not checking out, was a Valet Virtuoso.
Again, it came out during that time where we kind of was like, we were going to review it. You know, all that stuff happened.
We got a little segment right here, man. So it's all.
And I knew you were going to probably have that, right? So I kind of didn't put it in my honorable mention. You've made me appreciate Valet more, especially because people were hating on him back in the day when he was doing that album where it was his dog dyed red and shit. I remember that, you know, and it's great to see that he's risen from that. And he's been able to drop dope music since then and work with dope producers and drop dope projects. Yeah. I'm not hating. It's just, you know me, man. I have my albums that I really love, and it just didn't fit fully, but it was good.
That's how it be, man, you know, and it's okay. I respect it, but who else is getting a Harry Fraud tape and a Trapaholics tape in the same year, bro? Like, not many people. I was really fucking with this. I just felt like this is a really good vibe album. Another one that was competing with Ganger and Sex, Money, Drugs as one of my top vibe type albums. Washington Wizard. I feel like a Washington Wizard when I take Washington visits, you know, because he's going to see his girls in the DMV, bro. Like, he's hella funny, bro. Like, you know, just the one-off bars and stuff where, you know, he says things. I feel like he got one of the most exotic flows in the rap game right now. Mm-hmm. So that's why
Agreed. He's
definitely highly sought after by these producers. So big shout out to him. I really fuck with your stuff ever since I've been listening to the shit that he had with Benny the Butcher.
He's worked with Joey. He's worked with Joey. Extra Bronson. You know, he's all over. He's a dope ass producer. So I'm trying to make it sound like I'm hating. It just was, again, I think it came out later. And I think with me this year, a lot of projects that came out earlier actually stuck with me. I think last year it was different.
But he had crazy shit, bro. Like, he had Greedo on the album too, bro. Like, it was some crazy shit, bro.
You've been on me for not, like, being so hyped about this. I get it.
Yeah, then this nigga had, like, Z Looper. Bro, what? You know, like, on two different tracks, bro, on, like, the new project. So
yeah, he knows what's up, man. He knows what's up.
I'm just saying. Yeah, people know what's up about him. And we just trying to wait for Ray to catch up, bro.
Larry June, The Alchemist, The Great Escape. We reviewed that one, so we pretty much covered it. Dope project. Again, Alchemist, producer of the year. And I also just think it just impressed me with Larry June's rapping ability and just the production, the features. Everything worked pretty well. It was a pretty well put together album. And then the other one was McKinley Dixon, Beloved Paradise Jazz.
I actually bought the physical for that.
We reviewed it, scrapped it because of technical issues, but it's not an album that I think should be missed. The way he mixed jazz and rap and all these other sounds was something different. The only reason why I wasn't really that much higher is because, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's a deep album to replay all the time. And that's crazy for me to say because I have, like, Arm & Hammer and stuff. But I think for that album, it was the sounds and also just, like, McKinley Dixon. It was a great project. And I just, you know, I love me some jazz rap, especially with the closing track and Sun I Rise. Those were, like, really standout tracks to me. Still gets play, depending on my mood to this day, just because I just love the lyricism. And I also just love the fact that, you know, sometimes I felt the way he feels on, like, tracks on Sun I Rise. Like, sometimes, you know, as a kid, or, like, sometimes you're doing things, you look back on it, it's like you were flirting with death, or you were doing certain things just because you're bored and you had to rise out of it. You had to figure out a way to make it out of your situation and grow out of a state and out of a place that doesn't give you a lot of hope. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what really brought this album to the top for me. As an artist I wasn't really familiar with, he found a way to connect with me personally that I was surprised with. You know what I'm saying? Like, that album really hit. And I was so annoyed that we scrapped that review, because I think when we were talking about it, it was really like, dang, like, we both felt some of the tracks. And some of the tracks, I think we felt more than others as far as, like, you know, on the album, we were like, oh, this one hit more. And that shows you that he was being open, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it worked more with certain people. And the only reason why it was, like, 9 was because the replayability factor. Sometimes it got hard to replay it. It was a lot, especially with the instrumentals and stuff. It was a lot to digest. And some of the tracks, he's just like, fuck 12, you know what I'm saying? Like yelling.
Fuck 12, fuck
Yeah,
12.
it got pretty hectic. But when he was doing the jazz stuff and just really keeping it on point, it was cool.
Yeah, man. Last one I want to talk about. Hey, man. Sex, Money, Drugs by Lucky. That was none of them ones, man. I don't know, bro. I was so high sometimes this year, man. I was just geeked up listening to that song. I was just like, he one of them ones, bro. Like,
yeah. Whole World Slot?
And you know what, man? I shouted out a Young Thug disciple, man. This is another one, but also a Future disciple.
Future. Baby Pluto.
Big Future. Be like Baby Pluto, you know. Next generation, man. We doing good, man. Feels good to be 20-something, man. You know, this is my Taylor Swift.
I really love Sex, Money, and Drugs. I was kind of surprised that more people wasn't talking about it. I mean, I know Lucky isn't the most super mainstream artist, but if you want bangers, if you want just someone just talking about turning up or going through heartbreak, which I know a lot of people like because they listen to Future and Drake and shit. He does it in a way that's unique, you know, and he does it in a way, and maybe people didn't really like it because they felt like he's been there, done that. But to me, Sex, Money, Drugs, I don't know, it hit for me. And I'm someone who's checked out some of his mixtapes. I checked out his older albums, and I have a brother who's like a big fan, at least at one point. He didn't really even mess with the album that much, but this album was dope. I really love Sex, Money,
Drugs. Yeah,
it was Whole World Slap with Vice. Baby Pluto. Those are the ones I play the most and I have still on my playlist. But
New York, another one.
New York. One.
2021 vibes.
2021 vibes. Just solid bangers, solid tracks you could casually play.
But I mean, like you said, bro, he's got like a niche fan base and then he's trying to go mainstream. So it could always not work out, you know? You could lose hype. You could lose the community that's backing you. There's tons of things that could go wrong, but I think that it was a great step. I thought that it was a great album. And I think that if you think that you've been there, done that, well, this is probably one of the best versions of what he'd been there and what been did. Check this one out, man. Yeah, man.
Hey, no Drake as usual.
Didn't have to put Drake on there, bro. You know, no disrespect, yeah, bro. Yeah. Hey, bro. He doing his live streaming thing now. He think he ninja. No Lil Yachty?
Yeah. I thought about putting him in the honorable mentions because, you know, it was kind of surprising in that moment, but really, looking back at it, I like certain tracks, but that wasn't the album of the year. It didn't really have any potential for me. So,
no Lil Uzi.
Yeah, I appreciate. Yeah, no Lil Uzi again. Even though we gave that one a negative review, I've gone back to it and I like more tracks, but I still don't like it as a whole. So,
no Pink Friday too.
Nah. I mean, I like some tracks, but like even then, it's
no Doja Cat.
Nah. I tried. We should have reviewed that one just because it was controversial kind of, but it kind of came and went, even though for a moment she was being hated on. I feel like probably that sold well.
I said.
And I like
Town Red.
I think it's Agora Hill. She liked that track, even though it was like a TikTok track. I like that track. I like certain tracks. She went in her soulful vibe on the second half of the album, but it didn't last.
Anybody else that you surprised you didn't put in there?
At least for me, I had a lot of my albums and honorable mentions. The only other one, let me see. Hold up.
No Donnie T.
I let that one slide, though, because it was more so R&B. And it was cool, especially the deluxe. But it was too long. It was too many tracks, especially with the deluxe that were kind of like hit or miss. But I like the tracks I like a lot on that album. So,
I agree.
Yeah, that was one that maybe could have worked. I pretty much knew you were going to have certain albums, but I didn't know where. And it kind of surprised me where you put some of them.
The rankings don't necessarily mean that much. Generally, where I feel like things should go, you know, the top five is those are going to be my five. And then the bottom five, they could jump and they could move. Really, what I based where things were off this year was what was connecting with me theme-wise, what was sonically connecting to me, who did I think, you know, have one of the best years. I had reasons. I felt like every different artist was delivering something different for what I put them on there for. That's why I compiled my list that way. And if it gets clipped and it gets torn to shreds, more power to me, bro. That's a viral moment right there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, and it's our list, man. Like, you didn't even mention Utopia. I don't know if you didn't because I mentioned it, but like, I think
I mentioned it because of you. I didn't have it.
Yeah,
on my
you wouldn't. Yeah, yeah. Like again, that was a moment. But, like, again, if you were just focusing on mainstream hip-hop or you were just listening to what's put in front of you, I can understand why this list would be either super hard to do or it would just be like, I don't know if I have 10 albums, hip hop albums this year, because that was one of the biggest drops. And even though we liked it, we reviewed it, and I love certain tracks, did it last? Did it really connect with me on that level? No, but it did have dope tracks, and that's why it was an honorable mention to me, because it was, I like Travis Scott, and I thought it was a solid album. Could be great, but again, I'm giving it time, so.
Fiend.
That's what I'm saying, and I think this year, I'm hoping that some artists hitting that Cardi and drop just like Kendrick did 2022, because I think with the mainstream, I need more spice in my life. I need more artists trying to push the boundaries or do something different. And I think that's why a lot of people feel like hip hop is dying, because they don't really know where to look and they're just listening to what's put in front of them, and it's the same stuff, or it's not really pushing the boundaries enough. If you look at our list, they're different. One, and two, it's a lot of different sounds and a lot of like versatility out there if you're really looking. So just gotta pay attention, man.
Thank y'all so much. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on the Instagram. Follow us on the X. Follow us on TikTok. You know, we got TikTok account now at the Hip Hop Babies. Y'all know what it is. Hit me with the beats on DMs. Hit me with the music. I don't care what it is. We want to talk about it. We're going to start this new year off right, man, with this list. Share this to everybody, because we spent a lot of time on this, and I felt like we had a good conversation, so it needs to be shared. And y'all stay tuned, man, because we got more coming.
This year was big for us. We grew a lot. Again, with hip-hop, there was a lot of different drops that we got to focus on. Even though we missed some albums, there were some good albums. And this year, we want to focus on not doing that. We want to try to review everything we really love. Doing this list really brought to my attention that we like a lot of our projects and we share them, but sometimes it's hard with our time and stuff and a lot of stuff going on in our lives. But we're going to really try to focus and review the stuff we really like. And we're also going to review some more stuff we don't like. So if you're ready for that, subscribe. You know, 2024 is looking like a good year as far as like what's promised to maybe drop. I'm excited. And I hope y'all are excited, because I'm tired of all this bullshit. Hip hop is dry. Take a second and look at what's dropping and then come back to me, because I bet you haven't listened to a lot of these albums on this list. And maybe there's some albums on your list that we haven't listened to. And comment that below as well if you think we missed something, because, you know, there was a bunch of drops this year, like we're saying. So if you have anything you want us to review, cover, if you want to send us your music, like Deadly say, send it to us. Hit us up on any of the platforms. Everything will be linked below. Yeah, with that being said, I hope y'all enjoyed y'all New Year's. I hope we and y'all enjoy this year. Peace.